Hi, I'm Michael Pfeiffer. This is another episode of the Metal Conversations podcast. In this episode, I'm going to talk about residual stresses in metals. Residual stresses are locked-in elastic stresses within metals. Understanding residual stress and locked-in elastic stress is important for component fabrication, heat treating, and resistance to component failures due to fatigue and stress corrosion cracking. Before I get into discussion about residual stresses, I first want to make a quick plug for our speedy webinars. Recently, have been offering once a month a short webinar, short meaning a half an hour long. I came to the realization that after COVID and sitting through too many Zoom meetings or other virtual meetings, people really aren't interested in sitting in front of a computer for too long, especially when listening to a presenter. So I came up with the concept of speedy webinars. These are half-hour webinars that are focused on a very narrow topic related to metallurgy or maybe sometimes just engineering in general. And my goal is to help people learn topics and get more detail than they would ever possibly get if they're just trying to search the internet, trying to piece together the puzzle for various things related to metallurgy. Each topic is a very narrow topic. You can go to the website, www.imetllc.com, and look along the menu bar, the menu item that is for speedy webinars. Now I'll get back to residual stress. As I mentioned, residual stresses are locked in elastic stress. So what does this mean? Stresses that are less than a metal's yield strength can be present in a metal without any force being applied to the metal. These stresses that are locked in, that are within the metal, that are less than the metal's yield strength, are called residual stresses. The residual stress is associated with stretching or contraction of atomic bonds between the atoms in a metal. So in order to better understand this, I thought it'd be helpful to explain the elastic stress with respect to doing tensile testing. So with tensile testing, we make a metal test specimen and then pull the specimen and measure the amount of force that's acquired to deform the specimen and measure the amount of deformation of the sample as the force is being applied. When the stress that's applied to the metal is less than the metal's yield strength, and if we release the stress on the metal, then the metal will return to its original shape. In that case, what we've been doing is just causing elastic deformation of the metal, which means that we've just been stretching the bonds between the atoms in the metal. And that when we release the stress, the bonds go back to their original shape. And then the strain or the amount of deformation in the metal goes back to zero. During the test, when the yield strength of the metal is exceeded, then the metal starts to deform permanently and undergoes permanent deformation. However, there is a portion of the deformation that is also elastic in nature. So that if the stress is released on the metal, then the elastic portion of the metal will be reclaimed. That is, the metal will lose some of its deformation as the bonds between the atoms go back to their original shape. But there is still permanent deformation remaining in the metal. So there is the elastic portion of deformation and the permanent portion of deformation when doing a tensile test. Residual stresses in a metal arise when there is non-uniform deformation of a metal. This can happen during heating or cooling, heat treating, which involves phase transformations in a metal or changes in the microstructure of a metal. It can also occur during cold working, and it can also occur even during when a metal is coated. What happens is that during any of these things, during the heating and cooling or heat treating or cold working, the metal can undergo elastic deformation. However, if the elastic deformation is not uniform throughout the component, then there will be regions that have certain elastic stresses and others that don't. And what happens is that when the elastic stresses try to relieve themselves, the elastic strains try to relieve themselves, that reversal is opposed by the adjacent region of the metal. As a result, the region with the unreversed elastic strain has residual stress on it with a sign opposite to the stress that was put into the metal to cause that strain. So elastic strains that cannot be relieved because the metal is being constrained by an adjacent region of the metal. So there are a few different results of these remaining elastic stresses. And oh, by the way, I should say that the elastic stresses can be tensile or compressive in nature. And in many metals, we have both tensile and compressive residual stresses present at the same time. Some examples of the results of, or the effects of having residual stress are materials will deform when they're being machined. Let's say we're machining a piece of metal that had been cold worked or cooled from an elevated temperature. And if there are locked in residual stresses within that metal, as materials being machined, the residual stresses are eliminated or altered because of removing material. And that can result in changes to the shape of a metal if enough material is removed and there's enough stresses that allows for the material to deform. Also, for forming component from metal stock, if there are residual stresses within the metal, then they can result in unpredictable spring back of the metal after the metal is formed into the shape that we're trying to get. And that unpredictable spring back can result in the metal or the final component not having the shape that we want to have in the metal because of the variation in elastic stresses throughout the metal. Finally, for fatigue, we're concerned about tensile residual stresses at the surface because they can add to the applied stress that's being applied to the metal as it's undergoing cycling between a high and a low stress. And that additional tensile residual stress at the surface can reduce the metal's resistance to fatigue. Compared to if there's compressive residual stresses, then that can improve a metal's resistance to fatigue. I go into a lot more details in a recent blog post and articles that I have on my website. And also there's a video explainer that also goes into a lot more details. I talk about the causes of residual stresses, the more details about the effects of residual stresses, ways to minimize residual stresses in a metal, and there's a lot of different ways with heat treating and with design, and then also ways to measure residual stresses within a metal. So if you go to the website at www.imetllc.com and search for look for the blog post or the articles on residual stress, you'll see the video and the articles that have a lot more details. I hope this podcast was helpful. If you have any questions or comments, please email me. My email address is mike@imetllc.com. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the Metal Conversations podcast series to receive alerts for when new podcasts are released. You can subscribe on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and all the other usual outlets. That's it. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your metals. Bye.